15 to 20 million jobs.
Oh, I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. That means southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And first of all, I want to thank you for tuning in. Go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. And if they live at a distance, give them a call and ask them to go onto the computer, put in AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the Listen Live link. This morning, we also send out an email inviting all of our regular listeners to join us. And if you would like to become part of our e-list, there is a special link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on the Join Our E-List right on the very top, and you'll go right to the list. And you'll also get a reminder each and every week that the broadcast is coming up in an hour, and also you will get a copy of our rebroadcast after the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud to tell you that we have some of the greatest people on our panel. I've been doing this now for 19 years during the Saturday broadcast promoting American Workers Need You. For many years, I thought, well, it's just a lot of words, and you know, if you don't take action, it's not going to go anywhere. Well, I see that we are getting action in the last 8 or 10 years, a lot of action in the last 3 or 4 years, thanks to people like Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, and all of his efforts to keep his employees together there in the New York area and move forward with the Let's Support American Workers, Support the Country Where You Live. Larkin Connolly, who was in our studio with us last week, is here with us again. He is the small business advocate, a SCORE mentor, a person very much enjoyed by our listeners, a person who does both sides of the aisle when it's necessary and appropriate, and I like that. That's very good. And Rich Loges is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. He is doing a live interview this morning, so he will hopefully join us as the program goes on. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. He makes sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm Michael Blihash, proud to always be with you here on Wednesday, and also thankful for the many people that spread the word about our efforts. The August edition of the news has just come out, and we have several commentaries in there and a lot of information. And of course, the mug shots of Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, and Mark Andel will be seen by another 16,000 people as they open their newspaper this week. What can I say? First of all, I want to thank Rich Loges, Larkin Connolly, and Mark Andel, and our engineer, for an unbelievable broadcast last week. Open Forum was great, and it received a lot of compliments from listeners. No matter what was done and said in the past, we find out more and more, especially with the internet, that leaders can't hide the fact that America has had some very poor national leaders on both sides of the aisle, Democrats, Republicans, and a few independents as well. And there's no way we can hide anymore what's been happening in America. And that's what we're all about on this broadcast. And we're happy to say that there are about 20 other radio programs that promote my commentary every Saturday and Sunday during their public service time. And I want to thank them at this time as well. Everyone is saying there's no excuse anymore. Both parties were at fault. They did not go out of their way to address the most basic issue for working age and able-bodied Americans, and that is jobs, paying attention to the businesses that help those people to be employed, and the self-employed as well, the little businesses. On this broadcast, we've been begging people to support one another, support our workers, support the American label, support National Small Business Weekend, American Made Month, the month of November. We've put all these programs in place, and I must tell you, quite honestly, many, many businesses would like to join our efforts, but they have one problem behind them, Larkin and Mark, and everyone listening. Majority of these people are tangled up with foreign products. So if they push National Small Business Weekend, they're pushing a lot of foreign-made products. Made in America Month, ooh, I have so many non-American-made items in my store, it makes me look like I'm not a team player. And in the process of all this going south, we've watched foreign countries gain millions and millions of jobs, tens of millions of our industries left America. They raised up overseas beautiful plants, beautiful production lines, great offices where people do their job, all kinds of advertising presenters. By the time the product comes to America, it looks great, and all they need is Americans to be customers. With that, I am going to, oh, and by the way, we have a special project today being presented by Mark Andel. First, I'm going to ask Larkin to say a few words. Larkin, what did you think about my opening words today?
Pretty accurate, Mike. As you usually are. Good morning to Rich whenever he makes it on, and to Henry and to Mr. Andel. Last week was about as lively and edgy a program as we've done in the 4 or 5 years that I've been involved with the program. We really covered a lot of ground, no bars held, and I thought I had a great conversation. And I think one of the few things that didn't get said last week that I think has become very evident to me after watching my news, I won't call them anything names. I'm going to try not to call names today. But I mean, what I've picked up that I don't think that we covered last week is, you know, the politicians, national, statewide, even locally, you know, instead of making news, instead of making laws, instead of improving environments, both work and our physical environment, our educational environment, instead of making the news, these politicians, you know, they and their partisan positions have become the news. You know, it's all about getting your face on TV, getting publicity, and securing the fact that you know, re-election is more important than governing, and that's the saddest part of what's going on in Washington right now. I heard Simon Sinek make a comment the other day that it's always important. It's imperative that leaders, which is what I always think I'm electing to Senate and to Congress, do the right things, pass the right legislation, do the right things for the country and for its citizens. And if ultimately this means that you don't get reelected, so what? There's nothing that takes the place of doing the right thing, absolutely nothing. The side comments that I hear when a politician says, well, yeah, if I do that, though, I'll not get reelected. So you're going to do the wrong thing so that you can get reelected, so you can continue to do the wrong thing so you can get reelected? It's really not an excuse. And none of the characters that I follow in Washington have much of a concern for that fact. And it really, really is sad. One of these days, we're going to find somebody is going to come up spirited as a leader who says what needs to be said, passes what needs to be passed, compliments what needs to be complimented, and we ultimately are going to have a functional Congress. Let's hope someday that happens.
You know, Larkin, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I would like to add to that is that during the campaign, the people that are running for the jobs do not really outline what they're going to do when elected. It's all the canned stuff that they bull up. Mitch McConnell, who I really don't know, it was on, he goes to these Rotary Club type events with by invitation only and blah, blah, blah. And he goes there and he says, nobody understands how slow things move in Washington. The president doesn't understand. The other House members and the senators don't understand. Progress is very slow. Well, this is exactly the problem that we've had in America. They've watched all of our trade and technology programs in schools be washed away. They watched the tens of thousands of businesses leave America without a squeak. American workers and our businesses are pleading for help. They want reduction in their taxes. They want a guarantee that they won't be taxed to death. And they want the educational system also to bring them young people so that they'll be able to fill the jobs of those that are going to retire in the next 3 to 5 years. People cannot continue the way it is with less than skilled workers available to them. And yet, Mitch McConnell says that is another problem that'll be addressed in the future. He's been in there, I guess, 30-some years. If he didn't do it in 30 years, it's not going to happen until they carry him out feet first. That is why I agree with everybody that says term limits are very important.
There's absolutely no reason that any individual should serve 30 years. I mean, that's ridiculous. If he gets elected at age 12, he then, to me, has a young enough mind, and that he can make decisions and he's involved in things. But, you know, these 80 and 90-year-old senators and congressmen, there's virtually no excuse for that. None. Absolutely zero. And, you know, when I talk about these guys wanting to be, to become the news as opposed to making news, the thing that really kind of puts the finger on that is the fact that every one of them, when they get unelected and leave, get jobs of twice the dollar value. They run companies. They become lobbyists mostly. They practice their law degrees and anything adjunct to that may profit them and help them. I mean, what's the reason for them staying around? It's all ego. It is all ego. And they need to go away quickly. And we need to get people up there who are values-based and who, first of all, even have values and just go from there. Hell, somebody in the press took a very cheap shot, and I hate to even repeat it because I haven't verified it, but I read somewhere very quickly before I had to close my computer, my iPad, was that McCain is being accused now of being the leaker. That it was him that leaked a lot of the stuff that is out on the street. Well, if this is the case, that's just summarily, wipes a hero right off the face of the earth.
The internet, as I said, it is now impossible, Larkin, to hide anything. Sooner or later, it will come out. And if that is the truth, that's very unfortunate because he's a man that was respected for many, many years. And this here type of stuff has to be brought out. I mean, maybe this is a way to bring people back to the idea that we promoted some time ago. Term limits, 8 years for the House, 12 years for the Senate, and that's it. Because the Senate terms are 6 and 6. House is every 2 years. Your job. Thank you. Do widzenia I przyjemnego weekendu. And that's the way. Goodbye, good luck, and have a great weekend wherever you are. Just don't think you're going to always constantly be hugging up to our taxes. You know, most of these people, Larkin, you're right. If they were eligible to leave, And they would then be able to go out and do whatever they want. They could be lobbyists or whatever, but they should be given a term limit. Thank you. And let's have some fresh, new ideas. I love hearing from a lot of these people that come and give me these fresh ideas. People who want to go into business, people who've been in business for 2 years, people who went into business at a restaurant and the thing went down the drain within a year. They went in, as you said many times, with SCORE. They go in with great ideas without the reality that a bill has to be paid at the end of the month.
Exactly. And term limits is an absolute necessity. But I might add to your comment, I don't think anybody should be elected for 2 years. I mean, you haven't even found the men's room or the ladies' room.
I agree.
On the floor where you work in 2 years. At SCORE, we used to say you're going to be a chapter chair for 2 years. I never liked it because you never got anything done. It took you a year to figure out who was doing what to whom and when it was happening and what effect it was having. It just took you a year to get your sea legs under you. And then you had 1 year to effect a change. And it's hard to do that in 12 months.
And then you had to start running for reelection. So what were you? Yeah. What are you suggesting? It should be 4 years?
I think 3 years, maybe two 3-year terms or 2 4-year terms. If you make them 3-year terms, you're going to ultimately end up with congressmen running at the same time that senators are. And I don't know that that's all bad, but it doesn't give you an opportunity to concentrate on the politicians if you have to pay attention to who's running in your neighborhood for the House and who's running in your state for the Senate. It might get a little complicated, and it might, it might be a bad thing for the significant percentage of people who pull the party lever. So I don't know. I guess if senators and congressmen never find themselves on the ballots at the same time, they'll pull the party lever anyway. So I don't know. I don't think 2 years gives anybody enough to affect a change.
Right. I agree. I would say 4 and 6. And make it so that one doesn't coincide with the other. So do something where we're not losing our, most important people all at once, but we have an opportunity to put some new important people in office. Mark, I want to say, first of all, thank you, because a lot of people say, this guy sounds like a man who should be on a professional radio program 7 days a week, giving his ideas, interviewing his people from the buses and all. So, Mark, that sounds like a good idea. I'd like to see you have like the Mark Andel maybe television show or something. As the buses come, you tape them and put them up on the internet or YouTube or whatever. I mean, that's just a thought.
He's too ugly for
Mark, I know that you have a very special issue to discuss today, and I'm going to ask you to present it from A to Z.
Yeah. Welcome. Good morning, guys. Mike Larkin, Henry. Larkin, great talk about doing the right thing. I just want to mention, you're right, point on. If you're elected, it's not a popularity contest. It's doing the right thing. Guys, on that limits, 2 years, Larkin, you said, you're still trying to find a bathroom. The problem is we got 10-year, 20-year people still trying to find the bathroom. So I agree with the term limits for sure and keeping that moving. Mike, I just want to quickly also say, on the Made in America team, hats off to my team and what we're accomplishing. We come out of a smaller show called the Eden Corn Festival last 4 days. Thursday to Sunday, and then we're opening today at our Erie County Fair. It brings on 1 million people over the 12 days, and we're going to be exposing Made in America product and our General Welding, you dream it, we build it product. So big time, my team can't say enough for. Mike, you mentioned how slow-moving politicians sometimes are and how they're talking about how things slow and trying to slow the rest of people down. My team is speed, you know, and it's all about speed and how fast you get it done. And I can't say enough for the team that we have here and good hardworking Americans and what they can accomplish when you focus and let everybody use their abilities. And just big on the team play. Mike, so with that being said, we're on the move here making change. But I do want to bring up what you know, I asked you if we could talk about a little bit. You know, last week we had a release August 1st about can a local law require our county, Erie County, to buy American-made products. And, you know, they used one of our older photos and put my mugshot on top, but it wasn't about me, the article. It's about a county legislator wants to amend the county charter to require that a county purchases Made in America. And it's a proposed law. They're calling it the Made in America Act. They actually assembled people to come speak tonight, and I hope me or a representative from our company will go, because I think it's awesome, and I wanted to know your take. If they start making it a law to buy a percentage of your product in the country, like we say, support the country you live in, this is just awesome. It's businesses that contract with the county would have to guarantee that goods or materials they provide are manufactured or produced in whole or in part or a substantial part in the United States. And it's a great, I think it's a great start to really changing the culture, the way we purchase, and knowing it, there's a relationship and you have to do your part. So what's your, I just want to bring it up to our audience and Larkin and Mike, your thoughts on this. This is a major step we're all part of, and I'd like to thank and congratulate all the people that believe and do their part in buying and supporting the country they live in.
Very good. Mark, I just want to say, first of all, that was written by Sandra Tan, who is from the Erie County Press. And the legislator, the Erie County legislator, was Ted Morton. You know, I got a few emails from people bringing attention to this particular article that appeared in the paper. In fact, I got a link from Sam at the radio station yesterday reminding me about this particular article and people thinking that it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a great idea. As you know, we had something like this come up in the state of Pennsylvania where they started arguing about buying all American flags for the schools, for the veterans groups and everything else. And they were able to get that passed. But when it came to other items, it was such a poor selection of American-made items that they had to push the law aside. But your legislator did a better job of it because he is saying, legislator Ted Morton is saying that it requires the county to purchase $10,000 or more. It has to be a substantial part of the purchase has to be American made. What do you think of that, Mark?
Yeah, I do. You know, and they brought up in the article the New York State had passed, the Buy American Act, which required roads and bridge construction projects to have, in the state to be built by American-made steel and iron. And I just think it's a way, our movement is so strong, and compliments and hats off to you, Mike, for, tying me and Larkin and Rich together and our listeners, because I really think it's getting traction. I've got so many stories in the last 2 weeks alone with the American-made movie, how it's going to be featured international, right here in our town, and how they want to do a reality show. And it's just gaining traction from all directions. And this is just this law, somebody bringing up the law, talking about it, making people acknowledge and be aware of their purchases, our purchases of a local community, a town, a state, how much it in itself, you can create jobs right there. It's a working machine. So I love this guy for bringing it up. I hope they involve me a little with it, and everybody kind of finds us. But Larkin, what's your take? I just think it's great. They're talking about making this a law.
The New York State law was as a result of I think it was the New York, New Jersey Port Authority. They went to redeck the Verrazano Bridge, big bridge if you've ever been across it, very big bridge, and it took 15,000 tons of steel, 15,000 tons. Now, I don't know a lot about steel making, but I got to believe that that would keep a steel mill pretty busy for a while. And the Port Authority voted twice, received just tons of comments and criticisms from the press and from the citizens when they decided to buy that steel from China. And there were even people who compared the two types of steel that were being made, that the American steel was more reliable, it had greater tensile strength, or what?
Absolutely. The yeah, composition,
and,
yeah.
And they again, went for the deal. To me, any time a government, nationally, statewide, locally, makes a substantial purchase, and I dropped the $10,000, the heck with the $10,000.
Yeah.
If you've got to buy your sanitation department all new uniforms, well, then you go find someone that makes uniforms in this country. I'm not going to have them walking around on stuff made in China. It's just absolutely bizarre. We have to remember that we are part of a global economy. But appreciating that global economy and shooting yourself in the foot are two entirely different decisions as far as I'm concerned. And I think if we can't get our three levels of government to make purchases of stuff made in America, who the heck can we get to do it? I mean, citizens have the right to, they shop and they've got it right in front of them. You're either going to buy that shirt or you're not going to buy that shirt. You're going to, whatever. We have some people, all the present company included, who really makes an effort to find what it is that you want made in America, if it's at all possible. Mark is the walking poster boy for that activity. But when you're sitting there putting out a work order and sending it out for bid, boy, if the government isn't going to show a preference to stuff that's made in our own country, who is? Who is going to be the example?
You know, Larkin, that's great that because you got to lead by example. Before you were talking about people not doing the right thing, this fits into that too. And I want to bring up, I met a company yesterday who I'm going to get as speaker on our show. It's called Bach, or pronounced Bach, their family name, but they call it Back, like Made in America. Back, and Back is a great company. They're originally from Colombia. The family moved to California, did some work in Haiti, and then chose Buffalo, New York, out of three choices, Chicago, Detroit, and Buffalo, to manufacture their first tablet, handheld computer, in Buffalo. And if you look up BAK, beautiful company, 91 employees from inner city, training them, believe in creating and saving jobs. And they've got this computer rolling, but they can't find the motherboard. We're going to have to ask Rich about that. They can't find RAM and ROM. Just had a walkthrough tour with them yesterday. We have so much synergy together. But this may come to the point where the Made in America can help launch this first handheld computer, which, guys, is a major movement. So all this can be done, but this family believed in building a product here. Doesn't take no. Can't believe we can't build a motherboard in our country that can be sold, with the competition. So it can be done, and this just to me is like a huge step. We need our officials to believe. I try to be consistent with the message, try to raise awareness and educate. People don't know we have nothing that plugs in that I can sell. People don't know half our flags are made overseas. Come on, that don't make sense. So to me, this is common sense.
It is absolute common sense. And, the problem started with, we not only have problems with leadership and politics, we have big business leadership problems. Back in the 70s, the whole corporate environment changed on two levels. On the first level, it was when all of the CEOs who were just looking for bigger and bigger and bigger paychecks decided that the only thing important to a board of directors and to the management of a large company is shareholder return.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to sustainability? And that's exactly what happened to Gulf Oil. They paid so much attention to shareholder return that the company disappeared, and they allowed it to happen. And every one of those top five guys that allowed that to happen walked away from the deal with millions and millions of dollars. And to me, they should have been put in jail. They should have been incarcerated for 5 years for being that rude and that crude. But Milton Friedman's the one that did it. I mean, he introduced that shareholder return. And the same kind of university professorial changes that, you know, these guys, they sit in think tanks. He wouldn't know a desk chair if it was thrown at him. That same group of people like Milton Friedman introduced a new element in the 80s, and it was brand new. I mean, I was there at Gulf and Chevron when it started, and it was, you got problems, you're not meeting your numbers, we're on a little bit of a downturn, customers, weather's bad, whatever the reason was, they balanced their profit and their balance sheets with human capital. And this country has never done that until big business started to do it in the 80s and the 90s. And they would literally go in to General Motors headquarters and say, some mastermind, some brainiac who makes millions and millions of dollars would say, okay, we're having really a little bit of a downturn, so guess what? Lay off 9% of your force. And they go to every department head and said, you have to lay off 9% of your force. And they were balancing their profitability on the backs of their employees.
Yep.
And that's where it turns out. You put that event together with Newt Gingrich, who passed this deal with America or whatever the heck he called that thing. That's exactly when Congress and Senate and the two-party systems discontinued talking to each other. No friends. I mean, Newt Gingrich, as much as said, don't let me catch in the cafeteria talking to a Democrat. Are you crazy? They're the enemy. You put all of that together, and it reeks of really poor, bad leadership. What can I make right now? Not what's going to happen 20 years. What can I make right now?
Right.
And the new leaders now are saying, you know, the board of directors came back to a guy who's, I'm not going to specifically talk about him, but he's a large company, and they said, we are really $54 million behind the ball. You have got to lay off $54 million worth of employees in R&D and in production and manufacturing and sales. We have to get this number down so that we hit the number of profit that we said we were going to make. Yeah. Don't worry about people. It's profit. It's what I get to put in my pocket because I meet the numbers.
You know,
and this guy said, no, I won't do it. And you know what he did? He invented, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life, and Mark has done it. He invented the furlough system. You know, I'm not going to ruin the lives of a few because we're not going to make profit. I'm going to slightly negatively affect everybody by furloughing this guy for a couple weeks and this guy for a couple weeks and this guy for, and they get 2 weeks off without pay, but it helps them sustain the operation and the cash flow through rough times. And I know Mark has done this in his welding environment before. And guess what happened? Guys that were really well off were seeing their buddies that stand next to them with a welding gun, and he can only he's really behind the eight ball because he's got seven kids and, you know, a lot of things that this guy's doing. And he goes, you know what? I'm only going to take 1 week off take up one of your weeks. I'll take 3 weeks and you only take one. And it builds the morale in your business, and it's one-on-one and one for all, and it becomes a family environment. So that's a long way around of answering Mark's question, but I mean, seriously, this is what's missing, is the leadership that says it's one for all for one. We're in this thing together.
Yeah, and I thank you, Larkin, for your homework and breaking that down. Really, you're breaking down America got selfish, greedy, and lazy, right?
Yep.
And we
yep.
need level
Absolutely.
Five leaders that can look in a mirror and not blame it, look out the window, and blame it on everybody. And that's what we're talking about. And people sometimes get mad when I say we got greedy, selfish, and lazy. We did. How come my store, having 7,000 products, I support 500 privately owned American businesses, I don't have one item that's publicly traded in the Made in America stores? Seven brick and mortars, 9 store-in stores now. We don't have one item that's publicly traded.
Wow.
And Larkin, that's what you're talking about. I'm dealing with the mom and pops, the old Americans that work every day.
And that's,
I'm telling you, if you know as well as I do, Mark, that if Wigwam Socks fell on some hard times, he would not walk through that plant and start laying people off.
No, look, when I went to shared work, we all, 80 employees, we all had shared four-day weeks. Some people didn't like that. A couple of them people aren't with me today because you got to be able to share that. You know, you all suffer because everybody's important in a team. It's all links on a chain.
It's a team. You're right, Mark. Oh, you're so right. And you know, Larkin, you're absolutely right. What I want to know, Mark, is what happened to Erie County Legislator Ted Morton as a result of introducing the Made in America Act? What's the been the reaction locally?
Yeah, well, I just got a text this morning where I found out there's this meeting tonight. They called at, I believe, 6 o'clock down in a city hall to discuss this. So I like that it's moving forward. They didn't reach out to me as much as I thought they could or should or our team just because, you know, we've got 7 years in this. And I want to give, I got my team reaching back out now. Of course, we start the Erie County Fair tonight and whatnot. But I want to be part of this because I think it's where we're going. We always talked about 50-50 fair trade. We believe in globalization. Larkin, you're a master at knowing the supply chains. It took us 35 to 40 years to get into this mess. It's going to take 35 to 40 to get out of it. But
no question.
Things like this are what we need to promote and have happen on the high scale. We need leaders that really grab a hold of this and carry it out.
I would like to see all of us push this Made in America Act.
Yes.
I think that should be something that we propose to get into every state because too many legislators fear doing what this Mr. Morton did because they'll be called on the carpet. Just let me tell you a little bit about it.
And it's not an our thing, Mike, and I don't mean to cut you. It shouldn't be an our thing or a D thing. And I joke, some people said ISIS don't care what you are, right?
You know what? I want to tell you something. Most people tell me when I go in my travels, I try not to bring up, you know, politics too much because we're non-sectarian, non-political. But people tell me, Michael, I voted for Mr. Trump because I wasn't voting for a Democrat or a Republican. I was voting for a major change in the country.
Yeah, I hear that
somebody
every day,
I hear it from everywhere I go.
They wanted change.
They wanted to get rid of the old shoes and get on a new pair of marching boots and see what could happen. But
you know,
I like the idea of this Made in America Act, and I would like to get this gentleman on or his representatives to tell us blow by blow what's been happening, because I know that in other states, in other school boards, they are starting to do things like we want all of our sportswear or whatever, make sure it is made in America because our parents are paying the bill to send their children to school. So why can't we have a say? Well, if they're doing that on a school board level, there's no reason it can't be done in the state senates and the houses across the USA. America first.
Yeah, and you bring up a big point. So we got 60,000 social media friends on our 7 channels. I'm going to bring this up, the American Act, and push it. But I'm also going to invite Ted Morton on, if you're okay, Mike.
Oh, I would love to hear from him.
That. Let's continue, because we make more changes, our show and our listeners, than most.
Believe me, more is said during this broadcast. The focus and consistency is unbelievable. And, you know, sometimes we go off here and there, I know myself, because I'm pulled in 1,000 directions. But the message is ongoing. There's focus, consistency, and people that are interested. It's the same people that wanted change in this past election. I am always, you know, spellbound when people say, I didn't vote Democrat or Republican. I didn't vote in many years. And I went to the polls to vote for somebody I thought will shake up the whole system. And he's been doing what exactly I thought he was going to do. We have to propose getting back to supporting ourselves, our neighbors. We watched the leaders in Washington watch millions and millions of jobs leave this country. Did they make a peep of it? No. There was nothing done. Half of the stuff that they have there, their supplies in the offices and all, are not made in the USA. That should be the first thing. nothing in this building unless it's produced by the people who are taxed to support this organization, support this House, this Senate, and this country.
Amen. Absolutely amen. And, you know, I think we even have to go down a little notch in the economy. My wife thinks I'm absolutely crazy because I cannot drive by a farmer's stand. I can't do it. I pull in, I talk to the guy, I look at what he has, I buy onions. We have more onions. I have enough onions here. I could supply onion rings to the 101st.
I don't want to cut you. My wife walked 3.6 miles with my daughter and friend to get homemade pies.
Exactly. I don't want to walk into a Publix or an Acme or a Save More or any one of the grocery stores and buy a tomato that was grown in Mexico or buy a tomato that was grown in California. I want to buy a tomato that was grown by Freddie up the street who's trying to make a living growing tomatoes. And so this farm-to-table movement that restaurants have started, I think, needs to leak into every household in the neighborhood I live. And they need to support these farmers who find the best channel. As one guy said to me, you know, I could do supermarkets, but it's by the time I get in there. And sometimes one supermarket told me I had to stick this little sticker on every tomato I gave them. But because they have this, you know, because they have, you know, code, you know, barcode readers. And I, you know, he just said, it's easier for me to put my daughter, my son, my son-in-law in the booth. We bring out stuff. When you buy corn from me, son, you buy corn I picked yesterday afternoon.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't buy corn that was picked in Mexico 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be sweet because the sugar hasn't drained out of it. They're great people. I mean.
Well, Larkin, when I talk about the Eden Corn Festival I just came out of 4 days, that's what they do is the corn, and it was a great year. But, you know, farmers was, again, it was the original small business, the farm. The poor farmer gets picked on and moved. Their work ethic is unbelievable. Any guy I hire now, did you work on a farm? I hire him right away because I know I can work with that. But if there's no farm, there's no food. So these farmers need support, and they should be supported more, but buying local. But it's great stuff, Larkin. Hats off to you for supporting it.
Now, yeah, the beginning of last century, 1905, 47 people worked in farming, tilling soil, planting, harvesting, and selling groceries locally. You know, you couldn't buy a tomato from California. But today, it's like 7%. And those 7%, you're right, Mark, they work so hard.
And they really do it.
Regiment. They don't sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock in the morning, their day's half over.
Oh, and they're skilled workers at Larkin. They've got to know everything to keep their equipment going. They're everything. They're the full package.
Yep, they sure are.
Now, Mark, I understand that this particular Made in America Act is going to go through a public hearing up in Erie sometime this month. Can you get possibly contacts with somebody who's going to be at that public hearing?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to. I'm getting fired up as we're talking about it, Mikey. You know what happens then.
Because I'll tell you honestly, yeah. I really think, Larkin, you know how I feel about putting things on the referendums. I think that it would be good, Mark, if your legislator over there proposed that the Made in America Act be put on the ballot this coming November for the people to decide. I like the idea of no less than 51% of everything sold and especially purchased with tax dollars have a association with an American worker who made it, not only sold it.
Well, let's get behind this because it sounds good, Made in America Act. Made in America Act, but we can take it from local to national. We can drive this, and I think that's where we want to go.
Oh, yeah. You know what will happen, Mark? If something doesn't happen and we don't push it on our own, it'll just go into the woodwork and nobody will hear about it. But if we start eating and eating at it, what happened to the American Act, get on the legislator, get on some of his staff to give us a 5-minute report as to what's going on. What I would like to know is the press there in Erie County behind the act? That's the question I have. If the press is not behind the act, they're going to find every which way to knock this Morton down.
Yeah, and in there, you know, our county executive, Mark Polenkars, didn't put it down, had noted that it's going to be tough to pass as a law, but we got to put effort into it, get behind it, keep it alive, keep it up in the air, and really take this on because it's coming. And if you could have your country 50-50 fair trade and 51% of our products, and like we always said, it'd be nice if, you know, Ford, the Chevy, the Dodge was required 25% of their products be have these models that have mostly made in America. Why not?
You know, Mark, I wanted to mention this to you and Larkin as well. For the record, many of the foreigners that moved to America over the years and have their children born in America, those that open businesses, all tell me when I stop in that they want more American-made products for their customers because people ask them and they feel very strange because here they are, foreign owners, foreign people who are now Americans selling mainly foreign merchandisers. And they tell me they want Americans to have jobs because that's how their stores exist. People coming in, whether they're buying on the internet or coming through the doors, it doesn't matter. But if you give the people no choice but foreign made, this is what you end up with.
And, Mike, I don't bring it up a lot. I stay positive. I always look at the positive side of everything instead of going with the negative crew. But I had a lot of calls while I'm doing this Made in America store and this whole mission and this concept 100%. People would call me, why are you doing this, Mark? What are you doing this to us for? You know, manufacturers that blaming me, you know, kind of accused me, why would you do this to us? So that was always going on because it was making it hard on them, but I'm forcing them. And then we had products starting to change to be in our store. And that's the beautiful thing. They start to change components to be able to be sold in our store. And we had to lead by 100%. Can everybody be 100%? No. But we had to make that statement and stick to our concept and core value.
And your statement has been almost unbelievable because people...
And that makes change.
That's what makes change. Good things happened in the last year. I don't know if everybody agrees with that, but I think people woke up more than ever, and they want America back. They simply want it back.
Yes.
And whatever it takes, they want it. As I said during so many broadcasts in the past, I feel on this show we helped influence more people in many ways, even through my written commentary that is picked up by local newspapers and the weekend boys and on the radio and girls on the radio that use this broadcast to promote the American-made idea. Some of the stations don't want to push American made on the people, but they will play my vocal commentary because it allows people who listen to be influenced about the American made issue. Some of the broadcasters are advertising 90% foreign made products. So for them to push American made, it makes them look bad. But when they put my vocal commentary on at the end of the program, it allows them to influence the people because they want American made to be a growing positive issue.
And you know, somewhere, Mark, I'd like to see them infuse a little bit of, okay, so you're in Buffalo, New York, and okay, you want to resurface a bridge. You want to build a stadium. You want to build cars. You want to build furniture out of steel. Start with your own state.
Yeah.
If you've got a small mill that's kicking out steam with 60 people working at it in Canandaigua, New York, why wouldn't you support them? Why wouldn't you send them on the heyday of a lifetime? They'd be out hiring your own neighbors. They'd be hiring your own New Yorkers. And it would be an absolute heyday for them to get a nice, sizable order like that. That's what makes companies grow. And you know, to make it scalable, these companies can't continue to do the same thing this year they did last year. They have to learn to grow. They have to learn to diversify. They have to learn to not only sustain, you know, the channels that they have to grow.
Yeah. And they have to care to grow, Larkin.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Larkin and Mark, we want to have a few words from a gentleman who just finished up his interview, the very well-known Rich Loges. Welcome, Rich.
Hey, guys, good morning. Sorry I'm hopping on late, but I just finished up a local interview for an event I'm helping to organize down here in Miami. It's called the Miami Web Fest. So we're going to have a lot of digital, online, TV, film, music content. I was asked to participate and organize, so just finished up there. I want to just make a quick good morning to everyone. Sorry. Good morning, guys. You know, I want to mention for all of us, I got so much feedback from last week's show that I was asked, Larkin, that we need to continue talking about healthcare. And some of my Republican friends who are not Republican cheerleaders, I promise you, asked, why is it that the GOP is having such trouble moving from the majority party to the governing party? I said, well, we're going to need to ask Larkin Connolly that, because those are the questions I asked Larkin. Larkin knows. Larkin's the expert when it comes to that. So I just want to tell you guys that the content that we're producing on our show, people are really turning to it, Michael, to learn and get perspectives that they're just not hearing in the regular bash Trump, pro-Democrat, whatever, et cetera, fill in the blank media. So I want you guys to know that.
Well, we were talking, Rich, while you were on your interview about the Made in America Act. I'm sure you got that email from Mark. And this legislator up in Erie County, New York, has prepared a beautiful presentation to push for at least 50% of everything that is purchased by the county, and maybe even in the state, to be made in America. I think it's a great concept. We have to talk about that. Our next radio broadcasts have to start featuring on healthcare. And by the way, Rich, I don't know what Larkin thinks, but I think the Republicans and Democrats are both to blame for the way America is today. They watched it go down the drain for years. The health care should have been addressed. The day they took the White House, the Republicans should have had a full plan on the table as to what they were considering to do for the Health Care Act. I'm not for the national leaders being in charge of healthcare. I would like to see the healthcare providers across America get together and present 4 or 5 proposals of what they would like to do.
That's going to end up being self-serving. Let me make a comment, since we haven't been antagonistic at all or edgy in this program. Great subject matter and great talking, but we haven't really made anybody really mad. You know, we decided last week that the Democratic program, Obamacare, was just a BS project. It was just terrible. It wasn't very good at all. And we decided, I decided, because I've read parts of it and understand at least the structure of it, that the Republican Party is BS. Now, all of a sudden, the Republicans want to get together with the Democrats and do it together. Well, why would I put two BS artists in the same room and think that they were going to come up with anything different? That's not the answer. The Republicans get along with the Democrats and taking Obamacare and whatever they were calling Trump's program and putting them together. You know, BS plus BS equals what? BS.
I think it's time, Larkin, you're right. I think it's time for the Republicans and the Democrats to have equal representation at the table and come up with a plan after they work it out with all the national health care providers.
The only way I'll let them do that is if all of them, all 535 of them, get off of their little garden program that they have, individual written program of their own little health care, and get on to and go out and buy what I have to buy.
Absolutely. In fact, maybe that should be on the referendum in November, that the national leaders get the same health care programs that we Americans are being offered. I like that idea. None of this golden chariot type gig anymore. We've had enough of this. This is why America went down. We have to look out for America's working age and able-bodied Americans, people who can do their best to help America grow into the great economy that it always was and grow even into a bigger economy where we don't have listed on the debt clock 94 million people not in the workforce, but we severely knocked that number down to very little.
Well, we've got to get Americans to understand that we have a very rough road to hoe if we don't straighten out health care in this country, period, amen. And until they realize that and they get rid of their partisanship popularity contest, we're going to continue to struggle.
Yeah,
thanks
you
for
said
coming
many.
On, Rich. You got me all pissed now.
Well, next week, Rich,
I do
will
have
be...
Mark, and you know me.
Well, Rich will be back next week. Hopefully no interviews next week, and we will have our goblets of blood here on our tables ready to go wild. I thought that the open forum was great. Rich, I got a lot of compliments. People said they love it, and they want to hear facts and figures discussed. No, you know, dancing around. This is what should be done in the houses in Washington, D.C., where people are talking about the betterment of the American people, the American economy, not all this nonsense.
Most Mike, of these... I want to talk about how it affects me, a businessman, with General Welding Made America, and what people pay here, what I pay the $16,800 a family, and how that hurts a business from growing, and you can't give that benefit. People
how can you how can you earn $16,000 unless you have the business to produce the money to pay those kinds
yeah,
of bills.
Yeah, I've got 80 employees. Do the math. Times 16,000. Unbelievable.
Mark, keep us posted on the Made in America Act. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear the music. I want to say thank you to Larkin Connolly, our Director of Small Business Advocacy and also a SCORE mentor, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology, and Mark Andel, the unbelievable founder of the Made in America store. Thank you, Henry Chaplinsky, for another great broadcast. Thank you all who are listening for going out and spreading the word. America needs all of us. I'm Michael Bliehash. Until this Saturday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Have a great one.
Have a great week. I want to see Larkin on the road at these farm stands. I want a picture. Larkin goes traveling. Have a great week, guys.
Have a great
week. Thanks, everyone.